You're listening to the Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week, brought to you by...
Your company name here.
That's right. You could be a proud sponsor of the Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week or our flagship show, the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast. If you're interested in supporting either of our very high-quality shows, just shoot us an email with the subject line, sponsorship, to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. We'll get right back to you. Lord knows, we're desperate for cash. Ladies and gentlemen, we had a severe wind advisory here in Omaha, Nebraska, and the ziggurat is shaking back and forth, but we're not letting that stop us.
Heck no.
No way. Weather be damned, it's time for the answer of the week, where we play your audio responses to the question of the week. This is the part where I say, it just makes sense. It just makes sense.
It just makes sense.
But we can't do sh** until you tell us what we ask these kids. Joe Patrick.
This week's question, who is your favorite writer to enter the industry from outside the comics field?
I had real trouble with this one.
So what we mean by that, like, I'm sure that applies to a lot of people. Everyone starts somewhere. A lot of people were writers for TV or whatever.
Right.
We're talking, like, specifically people that were marketed as so-and-so comes to comics and writes Moon Knight.
Right.
Specifically, we were referencing Lena Dunham, like we talked about in last week's episode.
For sure.
So, people that entered comics who were a name already in other fields.
Like the RZA. Actually, I think it was the GZA.
And the Nine Rings of the Wu-Tang.
I think it was the GZA. No, he just wrote that thing for Black Mass Comics. 12 Ways to Die? 12 Reasons to Die?
That wasn't... Ghostface
That
Killa.
Was Ghostface. You're right. That was Ghostface. He's my favorite.
But there was a Wu-Tang Clan comic in the 90s.
There was. It was terrible. Let's get right to it. We got one damn phone call. But we got a bunch of MP3s, so that's okay. And it doesn't cheapen anything. We love when you call.
Know, maybe this is a hard question. We're going to find out.
This is kind of a hard question. Yeah. I think it is. A little too specific, maybe. But I like it.
What does that even mean? You know, too specific.
Pretty nerdy. Pretty nerdy.
Oh, shut up.
I'll say it. Ladies and gentlemen, Harvey Locust!
Nerdier than anything else we do.
Hey, nerds. This is Harvey Locust calling in his answer of the week. Another last-minute call-in. And my answer for this week's question is going to be hated and liked. I'm sure you guys are going to groan at it.
Controversy.
I
love it.
I'm pretty sure Matt's going to groan at it. Joe might be so-so with it. I'm going with Kevin Smith.
Ooh.
Oh, what?
That's a groan.
Yeah.
he groaned at his own answer.
I liked his stuff a lot earlier when I actually got out of comics, and so I didn't read his Daredevil run or his Green Arrow run. I eventually did get the Green Arrow run. I'm not a big Green Arrow fan. I didn't really care about that too much. But the series that he's quote unquote working on now, which started with Batman the Whining Gyre and then Cacophony, have been some of my favorite Batman stuff to date.
You've got to be kidding me.
I'm going to try to keep this one short and concise, so if you argue with me, go to the forums. If you want to, like, say, no, you're wrong, he sucks, blah, 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 whatever. Let's go.
Let's go.
Mad props, Harv, for pumping up the forums again, but, oh, dude. So you basically, you came out... Man, I'm a little taken aback. I'm sorry. I'm trying to figure this out. The stuff, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I don't love anything that Kevin Smith wrote, because I loved Kevin Smith's Daredevil and I loved Kevin Smith's Green Arrow. The two things that you didn't read. By the time Kevin Smith got to Batman, he was not the same guy. And I did not enjoy Batman Whining Gyre. So much to say that it may be one of the worst Batman stories I've read.
Here's why.
It was awful.
Yeah, but like I loved Kevin Smith's Daredevil.
It was great.
And I really liked his Green Arrow.
Loved it.
But Matt's right. And I don't know if it's that I maybe grew apart from Kevin Smith. It's possible.
No.
Not everyone stays a fan.
Kevin Smith changed. He changed.
No, but I don't look back at his movies the same way I used to either.
He's not our friend anymore. We found out.
I'm talking about his old movies that I loved when I was younger.
There's
I don't love as much.
There's only maybe one good one.
You are not at all responding to my statement in the way that I'm... to my actual statement.
Okay.
So it is possible that perhaps I fell out of love with Kevin Smith. Perhaps it was a mutual parting of ways.
You grew apart.
Yeah,
You're both better people for it.
There are two main reasons why. Kevin Smith and... his tenure on Batman is one of the worst things to happen to the character.
Oh, man, it's bad.
One, Deadshot breaks the Joker out of Arkham Asylum, and the Joker offers to let Deadshot have anal sex with him.
I forgot about that. Yeah. That was like a minor complaint for me. Like,
there's nothing. Listen, if Deadshot's into that, who am I to say? I do not care.
Well, and it's
you
like
you do not have the Joker running around telling people, "Hey, do you want to look at my stinky b-?" Or whatever Kevin Smith calls it.
Yeah, it was a little too Kevin Smith's Batman.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And in, I don't know if it was also in Cacophony. No, it was in The Whining Guy.
Of course, you mean Cacophony.
Cacophony.
I believe it's pronounced Cacophony.
But in The Whining Guy, Batman is telling this story. He's relating this story from Batman Year One, very famous, very iconic, to the Egyptian dog face guy that's crime fighting with him. And he's talking about the moment in Batman Year One where he sets the flash pot and
right.
It blows up and scares the mobsters. And he's like, "Your time feasting on Gotham's at an end, blah, blah, blah." Right? He gets all scary. He says to the guy, what nobody ever knew was that I misjudged the amount of powder I used in the flashbang or whatever, in the charge. And it startled me and I peed a little.
Dumb.
Kevin Smith took one of the most iconic moments from one of the most iconic Batman stories ever written.
Turned it into a pee-pee joke.
And revealed that Batman peed as little. He peed himself. No, Harvey.
And Walt Flanagan drew it. Walt Flanagan's not a good artist. Okay? He's not.
All right, listen. We're getting off track.
A lot of problems.
We're not here to judge you.
No.
Let's just say that let's agree to disagree.
We would love you to come on The Defenders, though, and talk about this.
Oh,
I'll tell you
what.
You go straight to the forums that you're pumping up, and we appreciate it, and we love you, and you defend Kevin Smith's Batman.
Absolutely.
We'll bring you on the show, Harv. We will do this. But right now, we got to get to Randy Andrews.
No.
What?
This just in.
Oh, we got another one. It just happened.
At the buzzer.
It just happened. Transcription in process.
At the buzzer, Aaron Myers.
Very nice.
Called in. I was tweeting at him while we were talking to Harvey.
Let's see what Aaron had to say.
Getting it done.
Let's see.
Guys, this is an emergency. I think I'm almost out of time, so I'm calling in. I didn't have time for MP3 crew. Totally forgot. This is Aaron Myers. I guess I'm a love slave or something. I can't even keep my thoughts together right now. I'm so frazzled. But I wanted to get my answer in because I love you. So my answer to the question is, Gerard Way for Umbrella Academy. And I guess Phil Joyce as well. I really like his books. He is a rock star of sorts, but his books and the people he works with on his books are excellent. And I think he is my favorite, civilian writer. And it is definitely not Orson Scott Card. Screw that guy,
indeed.
So that's my answer, short and sweet. Too bad there's no sound effects. Here's the sound effect for you. All right, talk to you later. Bye.
My knee-jerk reaction was Gerard Way, too. But I did not like the Killjoys at all.
I didn't care for it. And I think the difference is I'm not a fan of My Chemical Romance.
Neither am I.
True Lives of the Fabulous Killjoys is a comic book based on their music.
I guess.
It is.
I suppose.
No, there's no debate. It
is. Leads me to believe their music is about nothing.
And I'm just not into it. I wasn't into it. I didn't like the first couple issues. Yeah. I stopped reading.
Did nothing for me.
That's people like it, and that's fine. Becky Cloonan drew it, and that's amazing.
Love Becky Cloonan.
But I will be the first one to admit that I was completely wrong when they announced 10 years ago, or however many years ago it was, that the lead singer of My Chemical Romance was going to write a comic book.
I was right there with you.
I was first in line to go, "Huh? What?" Bleh.
Yeah, I was right there with you. I just thought it dumb. Didn't care. I fought it for 2 years.
Yeah, and I'll tell you exactly where I was when I turned around. I was sitting in the office at the comic book store that Matt and I used to work for, and I was putting stuff on eBay for the store, and I saw a packet of Umbrella Academy comics, and included in it was the Free Comic Book Day lead-in that introduced it. And I read it right there, and it was, like, I couldn't believe how much I loved it.
Stunning. I remember reading it, too.
And from then on, I was its biggest fan, and Gerard Way is a good answer. Just because I didn't like his last thing doesn't mean I won't like his next thing.
Yeah, maybe it'll be great. Maybe he'll stop talking about his band. Who knows?
Aaron, thanks for squeaking it in, buddy.
That was excellent. But right now, over to the MP3 crew, and we start where we always start, Randy Andrews. First one to answer every damn week. We love you, Randy.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews calling in for the question of the week. Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews calling in for the question of the week. I'm going to have to go with Joss Whedon. He started writing for TV with Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel, Firefly, Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, Serenity, Dollhouse, The Avengers. I mean, do I have to go on? Of note, I liked his writing in the comics for Astonishing X-Men and The Fray, as well as Runaways. So I guess that's who I like. Hope you like my answer. Talk to you later. Bye.
That's a great answer, Randy. That's an excellent answer.
That's a really good answer.
Yeah, I like it.
And I will be honest that when I was trying to come up with my answer, it wasn't until like literally the last minute, like right before I packed up to come over here today, that Keith Binder said to me, Joss Whedon. And I was like, oh, God, he's been part of comics for so long that.
Yeah, you could take it for granted.
It just didn't occur to me.
That name never popped into my head. I'm still trying to come up with an answer, truthfully, but that name never occurred to me. Solid answer, Randy. Let's move on to Wooly Toots. Bet I can guess who he's going to say. Let's see.
Yo, nerds. It's Wooly Toots with my answer of the week.
Sounds weird.
I really have nothing that comes to mind except for, I'd have to say, Kevin Smith. I really enjoyed his Daredevil run, not to mention his Green Arrow run. Thought those were both really great, and it kind of made me really excited just because I enjoyed his movies, and it was cool to see him get to write books, especially characters that he loved himself. You could tell that he was passionate about them. I can't say that I've read any of his later stuff, like his Batman work and stuff like that, which I heard was only okay. I wouldn't know. So that's it. Kevin Smith. I'm sure other people are going to say the same thing, but that's all right. That means those people and this person, we think alike. I like that. We could sit down and maybe have some breakfast burritos together and then follow it with a Bloody Mary and talk about stuff and maybe hold hands under the table.
He sounds so lonely. Another vote for Kevin Smith, but a vote for the Kevin Smith that we both liked.
Sure. And that's perfectly fair. Sure. I mean, Kevin Smith did a lot of great work before he did a lot of bad work.
It's true.
Wooly Toots calling from the bathroom at the hotel where he works, I'm sure. That's what it sounds like.
Andrea Shockling knows how to get an MP3 to us in time. Let's see what she had to say. Co-host of the Comics Therapy with Aaron Myers. Obviously, we know who is a little more on the ball here.
Yeah, it should definitely be pointed out that just because Aaron got played first, Andrea was way ahead of him getting her answer.
She hit us at noon today.
And she followed directions. No, midnight.
Oh, midnight.
It was midnight this morning.
What are you doing up so late, girl? Does she have kids? I guess it's 10 o'clock where you are, so not that late. Here we go.
Matthew, Joseph, did you miss me? It's Andrea, one half of Comics Therapy and at Andrea Shock on Twitter. So, Chuck Palahniuk, done. A sequel to Fight Club, great. As a graphic novel, even better. And I think Fraction is a good pairing for him. I appreciate the strategy of doing so. I'm stoked for this, which only means it will utterly break my heart if it sucks. Honorable mention to Gerard Way, but to be fair, he's pretty well documented as a comics fan and apparently had a series he wrote briefly published as a teenager long before My Chemical Romance.
That's actually true.
Still, Umbrella Academy and Fabulous Killjoys are both super fun, even though he's more well known for his music. But you know what would be awesome? Nick Pizzolatto retained the literary rights to the characters from True Detective. Ooh. I would totally read a buddy cop comic with Rust and Marty set in the late 90s, right? Ooh. Best thing ever. Later, skaters.
Ooh. So she's calling Chuck Palahniuk before the book even comes out.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
She's making a
She's calling forecast, her shot. She's calling her shot.
Which we will be sure to mock her for if the Fight Club graphic novel is a train wreck.
I don't think it will be. I think probably pretty safe.
Do we deduct points for not putting in sound effects like Aaron did?
No.
Aaron gave us sound effects.
He did give us a boo whoop. It was pretty good.
It's one of my favorite sound effects.
You don't lose points for no sound effects. You just get points for sound effects.
You missed out on points.
Yeah.
It's not that you lost. No. You just didn't get.
You just didn't get sound effects points. Yeah. That's all.
Live with it.
Keith Silva is always good for sound effects. Let's see what he hit us with.
Yes, this is real music. dark, brooding, important, groundbreaking. Check out the lyrics.
Hey, Jude and Millie. It's a call back to episode 153. Keith fucking Silva here. Now, Joe, don't worry. I've left my axe at home. No need to talk about why the comics you like are stupid and why the ones Matt and I like are awesome.
Ah!
I'm here on a diplomatic mission to alter the course of this here call-in whatchamacallit by mentioning a comic. Sorry, it's a graphic novel. We can all agree on. It's got boobies for Matt, and for Joe, it fits on a shelf. Graphic novel, that's kind of a bull term, isn't it? Oh well, it's an axe we can grind on another day. They're comics, people. They're all comics. I think one of you nerds mentioned Star Comics a while back. Well, little did we know when Marvel was trying to shove Muppet Babies and Fraggle Rock down our puppet holes, Jim Henson had an idea like Tale of Sand hiding under his beard. Tale of Sand was originally written as a screenplay by Henson and Jerry Jewell in the late 60s. It's Muppet-free, and other than that, the best way to describe Tale of Sand is not to describe Tale of Sand. It's got to be seen. Henson and Jewell's ideas are trippier than almost anything you'll read. It's Henson and Jewell's ball, but Tale of Sand belongs to Ramon Perez. Help me out, boys. Even though there's not a lot of dialogue or narration in this comic, it doesn't mean there's nothing to read, right? It's hard to choose a word to describe Perez's cartooning and composition. Gorgeous, exquisite, sophisticated, yes, yes, and yes. If you only know Perez from his work at Marvel, Tale of Sand will change all that. Jim Henson gave us The Muppets, Sesame Street, The Dark Crystal, and yes, Labyrinth. He and Jewell were master storytellers, and with their ideas and talent in the hands of a genius like Ramon Perez, it's a story you'll come back to again and again and again. There's a little hint of what to expect. So put down your pamphlets and pick up a book. Thanks again, nerds. Keith f***ing Silva, over and out.
That's a shrill beat.
You get it. That's just the first verse. Darkness. No parents. Super rich. Kind of makes it better.
All I could hear was...
Is that Death Clock?
No, that's Lego Batman from the Lego movie.
Oh, Lego Batman. Oh, see, I haven't seen the Lego movie
yet.
That's
what he was playing in the Batmobile. He's like, it's a song I'm working on.
It's dark.
Like, yeah, like, darkness. It's like, but I'm super rich.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really good.
Okay, interesting. Jim Henson.
I'll take it. It's a good call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he never intended for it to be a comic book.
But
it is a comic book.
Works.
Wasn't it my best graphic novel of 2012?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Boom. Excellent answer, Keith.
Hard to argue with that one.
I will say one thing. If you are throwing your lot in with Matt Baum because he reads the Zinescope books...
I don't like them.
Right. Because he forces himself to read...
I read Zinescope books the way that I will like eat a raw garlic clove when I'm not feeling well, you know, like to get the natural antibiotics.
Listen, he is not your friend in this, Mike. He is not your friend in this, Keith.
Keith Silva doesn't love Zinescope books.
I know he doesn't love Zinescope books. But if you have the reputation of being the indie guy,
there's nothing wrong with loving Zinescope books.
Because of the nonsense that you read for the show.
You love Zinescope books. We love you. Good for you. It's not our thing. That's all. All right. Let's see what Shonix had to say on this subject.
Hello, Twitter nerd. Shonix emailing in with my answer to the question of the week. I'm probably going to miss the cutoff, but I sat there and said how easy this question was, and then I totally forgot to send it in. So I saw what time it was, saw that it was about a quarter after the deadline. I'm going to try to sneak it in. I'd have to go, it's the easiest answer, Joss Whedon. That guy came into the comics industry and just totally put me on my head. I'm swearing, oops, then you guys aren't even being able, but you've been swearing on the show. You've been swearing half and swearing full, so you've been beeping out some and not beeping out the rest. So maybe that one will slide.
But that guy put me on my head.
I absolutely loved what he did with Astonishing X-Men. I wasn't reading any of his, like... Dark Horse stuff, but I loved his Astonishing X-Men. I believe he is the one that gave a pair of balls to Cyclops and became the leader that Marvel has totally ruined. He came onto the scene and made Cyclops so proactive at being a hero, but also as getting the mutants out there. And I loved it. Immediately they went into space, but his ideas were there. He brought back Colossus, which was fantastic. And just the work he's done alone with Marvel Studios. I mean, Firefly, that's another one. Serenity, that's another one. Yeah, those are movies, but man, those comics have been awesome. All right, kids, that's all I got. Hope I snuck it in time. Hope you guys are still recording now. Peace out. Love ya.
I just hope he gets out of the trunk of that car.
I thought he was calling from a monster truck rally.
It sounds like he's calling from someone's trunk.
He's calling from the cockpit of Gravedigger.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool. I'm more of a Bigfoot guy.
Oh, from Truckosaurus.
From Truckosaurus. Another answer for Joss Whedon.
Is Truckosaurus the one that becomes the dinosaur? Or is that
Truckosaurus was from The Simpsons.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the truck that transformed into a dinosaur and ate other trucks. Looks like we got another last minute call from someone who either doesn't believe us when we have the cutoff or knows that we'll be sitting here recording this and might sneak it in. So, and this one just happens to be our lawyer, so we're going to let it fly.
Probably a little bit of both.
Hey, guys, Ryan. I know I'm calling in late, but hopefully you're recording and we'll get this in time and
exactly.
Can use it and or need it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if he's my favorite, because I'm sure there's writers that I can't think of, but I think somebody that deserves a nod is David Liss. He did a run on Black Panther. Well, it was really Daredevil, but it morphed into Black Panther, the Man Without Fear.
It was totally rad.
A few years ago. That was super, super, super fun. Totally awesome. Really street level. Very Ed Brubaker-ish in its crime noir feel. Totally loved it, and I was really bummed when they canceled it. He also did the Mystery Men miniseries, which was okay. It was entertaining, kind of forgettable. In fact, I really don't even remember what happened, but I remember enjoying it. And then he's also done, or is doing, or maybe it's over with, he's doing the Spider for Dynamite, and that was actually a lot of fun. I enjoyed his writing and Francis Francavilla's covers. The artwork, as with most of Dynamite stuff, left a lot to be desired. But anyway, my nod, David Liss, Black Panther, The Man Without Fear.
Totally excellent choice.
I had to look it up. David Liss writes novels. I had no idea. Yeah. I thought he was just a comic writer.
Super talented dude. His Spider is really good, too, that he's writing right now.
Yeah.
It's really good.
You know what? And yeah, I was really into David Liss's work. He wrote that Mystery Men series, didn't he?
It was great. Yeah. So I'm going to go with the Wachowski brothers. That's where I'm going. They put out Burly Man comics in the 90s. You had Doc Frankenstein. You had
Shaolin Cowboy.
They actually wrote some Doc Frankenstein, though. They were so goddamn good. I still hold those books up as some of the best comics of the 90s. It was very short-lived. Mm. They were very high quality. And for those of you who don't know the Wachowski brothers, or siblings, whatever you want to call them, because one of them had a sex change, they were responsible for The Matrix.
Yeah, they created The Matrix movies.
They created The Matrix movies.
One of which is pretty good.
And Cloud Atlas, which nobody saw.
Cloud Atlas is visually impressive.
It was visually stunning. It took me 4 days to watch it, so I kept falling asleep.
Yeah, I mean, those Burly Man comics are great. The Wachowskis obviously know visual storytelling.
Joe Patrick is stalling.
I'm not stalling. I'm.
What's your answer? Who do you got?
Well, I thought about this a lot, and
if you go with Judd Winnick, I'm coming over this table.
No. I thought about it a lot, and it was. I won't pick Joss Whedon, even though the answer probably should be Joss Whedon. Because it did not occur to me till the last minute, I said.
Yeah, same here. Otherwise, I probably would have picked
it. I already had another answer picked. I thought about Judd Winnick, and then I realized that Judd Winnick wasn't really famous. He happened to be on The Real World, yes, but he was always a comic writer.
He was a cartoonist.
He did cartoon. Yeah, he was a comic strip writer. He put out a graphic novel, very famous, Pedro and Me. And we debated it. Matt said he thought he was going to pick Judd Winnick, and I gave him shit for it. Though it is controversial, I like Brad Meltzer a lot.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. I love Brad Meltzer.
I loved his run on Green Arrow.
Yeah.
I happen to enjoy Identity Crisis.
I did too. I thought it was great.
It's very polarizing.
I thought it was great.
But I think that my pick for favorite celebrity to comic writer is Alan Heinberg.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Who created the Young Avengers.
I totally forgot about him.
Yep. And I believe this is where my story gets mixed up because Wizard Magazine was canceled years ago. But
true.
Back when these things got talked about more often, somebody was roommates with somebody. Like Brad Meltzer was roommates with Jeff Johns, or Alan Heinberg was I think Alan Heinberg was roommates with Judd Winnick, actually.
Okay.
That's going to be wrong, and I'm going to look it up real quick. But
here you talk. I'll look it up.
Alan Heinberg created the Young Avengers. He also created the OC, which Matt maintains to this day. The first season was pretty
great,
good.
Man. It was great. They ever lived together, and I'm not seeing anything about it.
All right, then I'm thinking of something else. I think Brad Meltzer was roommates with Judd Winnick. Now that we got that out of the way,
cool story.
I think Alan Heinberg obviously has a real love of comics, and unlike a lot of celebrity writers that come to comics, yeah, they have a story to tell, and they are arguably good at their craft. Whether you like them or not is up for debate. Alan Heinberg, I think, came into his comics career already loving comic books.
Definitely.
Because isn't the OC like full of comic references?
Yeah, he had a nerd on there that had really poignant comic references at the time, too. Not just like the Big Bang Theory, where they're like, Green Lantern! You know, like, sure. I get it, you're a nerd.
But Alan Heinberg created the Young Avengers. His comic writing is very sporadic, unfortunately. It took a long time for Young Avengers to finish. He co-wrote an arc of JLA with Jeff Johns, which was a kind of Identity Crisis adjacent. And it harkened back to an old Justice League story from the 70s where the Injustice Gang, or whatever they're called at the time, swap bodies with the Justice League.
Oh,
so the
yeah.
villains are in the heroes' bodies.
That was a good time.
It's a great story. I think that his comic work overall is better, and he has contributed more lasting mythology to comics than most other,
I'll give you that,
quote unquote, celebrity writers, at least in terms of superhero comics.
I'll give you that. He was great. He really was. Young Avengers was wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, and to this day, people still like yearn for the Young Avengers, and that's due to Heinberg's characterization and the relationships he created between these characters. He's got my vote.
Fair enough.
I wish he'd write more comics.
Fair enough. I do too, because he's great. He really is great. And the OC was fun. Screw you. We've got a bonus call here. Dwight from Chicago called me while I was editing the show, so I'm going to take a little pity on him. I'm going to put it on the air. But Dwight, never again, my friend. You must pay attention to the rules.
The answer to the question of the week, what celebrity-penned comic book did we like? I know that isn't the way the question was phrased, but I'm just having a brain fart. But what I do remember, to answer your question, my two favorite things in the whole world outside of my family are comic books and Star Trek. So back at the height of Star Trek Deep Space Nine, they did a two-issue miniseries called Celebrity Series. Basically forgettable stories, but one was written by Aaron Eisenberg, who played Nog on the series, and the other was written by Mark Leonard, who is famous for playing Sarek on just about every iteration of Star Trek that came out. Like I said, the stories themselves were forgettable, but I thought it was very cool that they wrote those stories. Anyway, that's my answer. Talk to you guys next week. Take care.
Thanks for the call, Dwight. I appreciate you thinking outside of the box. It's always good to hear from a fellow Trekkie. But do it on time next time. Come on, buddy. Thank you for all your answers, guys and girls. As usual, we'll be back with another question of the week this Friday and a new episode of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast this weekend.
Oh, wait a minute. Alan Heinberg. Steinberg wrote an arc on Wonder Woman. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's right. Was that the one where she wore the leather jacket?
No, that was J. Michael Straczynski.
Oh, that's right, JMS. And he didn't finish it.
Who, by the way, is probably...
Babylon 5, yeah.
Actually, if I were being perfectly fair, I would say that J. Michael Straczynski has probably contributed more mythology to...
Oh, most definitely.
...the Marvel universe.
Most definitely.
To shared superhero universes than any other writer.
It came out of screen.
Than any other celebrity writer.
Yeah.
It just so happens that a large percentage of his comic book writing is not very good.
Not all of it was great.
That is it for the answer of the week this week. There will be another question of the week, hopefully on Friday. We'll post it. You'll call us, 402-819-4894. Send in an MP3 to editnerd@gmail.com.
We say all this in the end. We have a little thing that says...
At this point, you know what to do.
Yeah, come on, you guys. You know what to do,
and the pretty lady at the end is going to tell you.
And Joe Patrick is going to make the question a little more accessible, so more of you will call.
The question was perfectly accessible.
What is your favorite Hawkeye trick arrow?
This is a show about comics, goddammit.
I know. We ask a little more from our fans. That's great. We ask a little more.
And the people that called in today, they stepped up to the challenge.
They did, and I liked it.
Good job.
Thanks, dudes. We'll see you this weekend.
Hey, nerds. If you've got an answer to the question of the week, you can call THN at the Ziggurat direct line and leave your message at 402-819-4894. Or using the Skype username, Two-Headed Nerd. And if you're too shy or have just too much to say at once, you can write your message under the Answer of the Week section of the THN forums. 'Cause you-